Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house tonight, isn't it? Amen. I'm glad to be alive. Thankful for health. Thankful the Lord's keeping me. Thank the Lord that He directed my boss, Brother Jim Helfenstein, to tell me I had to work on Saturday. Hey, hallelujah. And then I never told you, but he called or texted me about 8:30 and said, let's put it off, so I didn't have to work Saturday. Hallelujah. How about that? You don't believe me, I got the text messages. Amen. The Lord's a keeper of us, isn't He? He's guided me all of my life. Even when I didn't serve the Lord, He still had His hand in my life. And thankful that I had good parents that prayed for me and corrected me. I can remember coming in my first year of Bible college, coming in and walking into the kitchen on our first break. I believe it was Thanksgiving. And I walked straight in, Sister Hoffman, and I looked at my mom and dad, and I was serious. And I said, I want to thank both of you for every whipping I ever got in my life. And my dad kind of smirked and said, you've lost your mind, and walked out. But I was serious, because those corrections guided me and kept me on the right path. Amen. I want to preach something tonight. It's been on my heart. Brother Hurst asked me if I could preach for him tonight. I told him that I would, and I would be honored. And this thought came to me, and I've tried to look for something else. Don't get scared. It's nothing bad. And I tried to look for something else. But Brother Adams, I've lived for God long enough to know it's no use to argue with Him. Just go ahead and preach what He asked you to preach. It'd be a lot better. Amen. So I'm looking forward to the altar service already, and I haven't even started my first verse yet tonight, but I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in this service tonight. Brother Brian, did y'all enjoy that message this morning? I looked at my wife on the way home, and I said, this means nothing. I'm not trying to blow smoke in your sails, because I think he's as broke as I am, so I can't get anything out of him either. Well, we're not broke, but we're bent real bad. Amen. But he preached this morning. I told my wife, I said, he preached part of what I would like to have preached tonight. So I think I'll just try and pick up where he left off. He preached so well this morning on standing up, staying in there. Amen. Hanging on. Ephesians, I forget the order that I gave these to you back there, Brother Dearth. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. You don't have to stand tonight. I know we normally do. But I'm going to be reading several different passages of Scripture tonight and jumping around. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 2 Corinthians tonight, chapter number 10, verse number 4 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Hang with me. I don't believe I gave you this one, fellas. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And finally, 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 18 is where I want to preach from tonight. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. If the Lord would help me for a few minutes tonight, I'd like to preach on a simple thought entitled, Tearing Down the Stronghold of Fear. Yes. Yes. Tearing down the stronghold of fear. Fear is defined in Webster's dictionary as an unpleasant, sometimes strong emotion caused by an anticipation or an awareness of danger or anxious concern. It may be about a loss of health, a disease, or damage to your body, or it may be the loss of face, damage to your ego, your pride, or your image. It stands to reason then that fear increases with an increased attachment to the physical world. It increases as well with a dependence on the approval of others. Fear is also more pervasive when there is a lack of faith that we have greater significance in this world than what we own or how others perceive us or what they think we should be or are. There are many things in such a world as ours which can bring fear into the human hearts. Fear of want, fear of war, fear of rejection, fear of the dark, and a multitude of other things. This afternoon, I looked up a list of phobias. I know I get a little strange sometimes, but just bear with me. I looked up a list of known phobias to mankind and found four typed pages of phobias that included, but wasn't, listen to this, there was even phobophobia on there, which was a fear of being afraid. And I just laughed. And the more that I looked at this, I recognized we are living in a world full of fear. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. Hang on with me. Some fears are rational. Some fears are foolish. But all are very serious to those who are experiencing the fear at any given moment. I read an illustration not long ago. And how many of y'all have been to the ocean? Just raise your hand. You're going to cooperate with me tonight if I have to pull it out of you. Ask my Sunday school class. Just raise your hand up. Look around. We've all been to the ocean. How many of y'all been in the ocean? How many of y'all been in the ocean and heard somebody say a word starts with an S, ends with a K? Shark. I seen a hand. Who's there? You got it? Yeah. Didn't bring a bit of fear to you while you're on the sand. But if you was in the edge of the water, you're out. Because you're afraid of what might happen. Now, I can swim to save my life. Amen. I don't do, what do they call them, triathlons, where you ride a bike and you jog and you swim. And I'd pass out probably the first 14 minutes of the whole thing. But I don't do those things because I don't like deep water. I really don't. I'm not afraid of deep water. But if you throw me out in the middle of the ocean, it's not the water I'm scared of. It's the things in the water that I can't see. Don't get spiritual on me. You're the same way. Hallelujah. Anything with teeth that's longer than me, I'm afraid of. Amen. If it's got teeth, it's meant by God to eat meat. And guess what I'm made out of? Hallelujah. Brother Jerry, don't laugh. And there's a lot of me to go around. I don't want to be in that water. And I read an illustration about a man by the name of Eric. Now, I'm going somewhere tonight. Brother Jake, you told me to make it short, so I'm going to try. I read a man about, his name was Eric. He was out abalone fishing, which is just a small mollusk. He was diving down deep off the southeast coast of Australia in the Tasman Sea between Australia and I believe it's New Zealand. And he said in this testimony that when he got down, he was having a good day. He was just plucking those abalone off one right after the other.
And he said the visibility in the water was only about 10 feet. He couldn't see very far. Didn't know what really much about his surroundings, only the fact that he had been there for 30 plus years as an abalone fisherman, and he knew the reef well enough to know where it turned and which way went to deep water and which way went back to shore. And he said as he went down for the last abalone of the morning, good morning, he said, he began to pluck it off, and he said all of a sudden a thud hit him. A great weight ran into him. And he said it so stunned him that he didn't know how to react at first. He said he didn't really understand or know what had happened. He said he was looking down and everything had went dark. And he said then all of a sudden the thrashing began side to side. And it dawned on him instantly that a great white shark had come at him head first and had swallowed him down to where its top jaw was on his back and its bottom jaw was here. And the only thing left out was his two arms. And he said, as that great beast began to thrash me back and forth, he said, I've been in the sea all of my life. And he said, I reached up next to it. And he said, I run my hand along the side. And he said, I felt something that felt like a gooey tennis ball. And he said, I realized instantly that that was the eye of this animal. And he said, I pressed hard on the eye. And he said, the pressure released, and I started to push back. And he said, as I started to push back, it closed its jaws once again. Only this time, he said, its bottom jaw came right across the bridge of my nose, and the top jaw came into the back of my head. And he said, I instantly reached back for the tennis ball again. Y'all scared yet? You sitting on the edge of your seat? Hallelujah. I'm going to scare the death out of you right now. He said, I reached back for that tennis ball. And he said, this time I didn't stop poking until full pressure was released. And he said, when I got out of his mouth, he said, I'm smart enough to know that if I would have made a quick ascent to the surface, one of two things would have happened. I would have provoked another attack by the animal, or I could have caused myself to get the bends or get sick if you ascend as a diver too quickly. And he said, I kept my eyes. I couldn't hardly see. He said, but in the visibility that I could see, he said, through my eyes, blood was coming out. He said, it was flooding around me. And he said, I kept slowly wiping it back, watching the beast. He said, it just went around and around and around. That black eye staring at me the entire time that I went up. He said, when I reached the surface, I called for my son. And he said, my son came over and pulled me into the boat. When I got into the boat, it took over in this interview. His son said, my dad looked as if he had been cut all to pieces. Blood was everywhere. I hope I'm not sicking anybody out. I'm not trying to tonight. He said, I radioed ahead to the medical staff to be ready when we got there. And listen to this. After an hour-long boat ride back to shore, the medical personnel pulled him off of the boat. They were amazed that he walked off that boat under his own power after losing so much blood. But this was the amazing part of the whole attack. Hundreds of stitches. There's a couple pictures on this interview that they posted on there. Hundreds of stitches to close up the wounds. And he said two things saved me that day. Number one was my lead-weighted diving vest. He said the teeth barely penetrated through, but what did penetrate did lacerate me. And he said, secondly, the grace of God brought me out to where I could come and be with my family again. But he said the attack was bad enough. It was a horrendous event in my life. He said, but that attack was not anything in comparison to the night sweats where I would wake up, Brother Dale, in a fear that I was back in the jaws of that great white shark. When they did, he said, when the medical examiners measured out the circumference of the jaw bite, they said a 20-foot great white shark had attacked him. My God, if you ain't scared to get in the ocean now, you're crazy and all get out. Hallelujah. Night sweats. He said it halted me that I would wake up and all of a sudden I would just wake up thrashing and screaming out loud, help, help. And he said my wife would have to calm me down. Months would go by that this would haunt him. But there is something that I want to talk to you about tonight. That is exactly what the devil has done to some of us. He has made us so afraid. You see, you and I were once in the jaws and the clutches of the enemy of our soul, and he would have had his way with us, but God brought us out and spared us. But I want you to know something tonight. There are some of you under the sound of my voice that you have allowed the enemy to torment your mind with fear in such a manner and in such a way that you can't go forward in the kingdom of God like he wants you to. Woo! I feel like preaching now. Amen. And I began to read more. Fear is something that folks handle differently. Everybody does. Amen. I can say I'm not afraid of a lot of stuff. Amen. But I done told you, if you throw me in the middle of the ocean, amen, I'm afraid of what I don't see down there. And if you tell me I'm not afraid of anything, I'm going to tell you, man, you're lying and you need to pray through right now. Hallelujah. Everybody has something that you're afraid of. Amen. But there's a problem that there. You don't have to worry. I don't have to worry necessarily about a fear of what's in the ocean, Brother Michael, because I don't live near the ocean. Amen. I live here in Ohio. You can find all the fossils you want all around my house if you feel like it. But when I get down by the ocean, I am awed at its power and I'm amazed at its beauty. But I will not dangle my toes in the water. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not afraid necessarily it's going to come up and bite my leg off, but I'm not afraid. You don't tempt it, right? Fear is shown in many ways. Some show fear by withdrawing or by cowering. If you never take a chance, then there's no risk of losing. The most profound examples of fear are anger and hate. Anger is the primary sign of fear. Those who act out their insecurities as anger are the most fearful of all people. Often those who act macho and bad and are tattooed and long hair and pierced all up and walk around with their chest puffed out, most of the times it's trying to cover with a facade of an insecurity of some sort or another. Come on, help me preach tonight. I want you to know the enemy gets us so afraid that we can't function properly. He circles us with a menacing look, always reminding us that one time you were in my clutches. Amen. I'm a preaching to you tonight if you're not listening. My wife and I were first married. We lived up off of Main Street in Englewood. And I used to, I don't as bad anymore. But I don't know what it is. I used to love scaring the death out of my wife. I really did. I don't know why. I just, don't look bad at me, Sister Richmond. I just did. I don't know what enjoyment I got, but I did for whatever reason. Amen. Now it's been told, let's move on. And I went in and I was working a job where our jobs were dependent upon the weather. And it had rained, Brother Adams, and I went to work, and they called off our house, gave us a choice, said you can go home, take a vacation day. I had a floating time, so I took it, and I went back home. She was up. She was walking in the second bedroom, Brother Dave. She was sweeping the floor. Music was playing. I walked in the house, and I even left my work boots on. I walked right on through that apartment, walked into that second bedroom, and I was going to sneak up and grab her and go boo or something like that. But when she was sweeping backwards, she looked down and all she saw was a pair of work boots standing behind her. And she turned very quickly and looked at me. And Brother Brian, I'm going to have to admit to you, when her face and her eyes connected with mine, the only thing I could do was grab her and I wrapped my arms around her and said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Fear had gripped her till she could not scream. She could not move. She was paralyzed.
right at that moment. And in my mind, I realized, had this been another person besides me, who knows what would have taken place. She couldn't even cry for help. But I want you to know tonight, under the sound of my voice, there are some in the church house. I'm talking to saints tonight. There are some in the church house that are so afraid of what the enemy's going to do. He has robbed you of your power. He has robbed you of your love. And he has robbed you of your sound mind. He has taken it away. He has pulled it right out of your grasp. If we had time tonight, I'd have her testify. You all remember testifying a few months ago, or maybe a month ago on a Sunday morning, that she couldn't rest. She couldn't sleep. Every night, night after night, she tossed and she turned in the bed. I kept me awake some, not a lot. And I would get up from time to time and say, "Hey, why don't you just pray? Or let me pray for you." And my wife would say, "I'll be all right." And I would say a prayer for her, and I'd go on back to sleep. And then she got to a point where she would wake up and she was not rested. She would go to work and just felt like sleeping all of the time. And then all of a sudden, one morning, we were sitting back there, or one night, Sunday night, Brother Hurst said, "If you want prayer, come up here and get prayed for." I looked at my wife, Sister Rose, and I said, "Are you going?" And she said, "Yeah, let me out." I moved to the side, and when she walked up, we didn't shout. No one ran the aisles. We didn't swing from the chandeliers. But the peace of God met us right here at this altar. And when my wife went home that night, I couldn't wait Monday morning. When she woke up, I rolled over and said, "How'd you sleep?" She said, "I slept all night. I never woke up." The next morning, "Brother Brad, how'd you sleep?" "I slept all night." I'm telling you, she testified a while back. She said, "I knew what it was. I recognized that the enemy had come into my home, and he was making me so afraid and restless that I felt some days I was going to die." The enemy had slipped in. Oh, I feel like preaching this. I don't know why I feel like it. Brother Brian preached so good this morning about warfare. Spiritual warfare involves three elements: temptations, accusations, and deceptions. But there's a difference between warfare and being tormented. You see, warfare is daily activity, fiery darts. I'm throwing something at you. You can throw it back if you like. Amen. It's the only one I got. Whoa, good shot. Amen. You throw something back at me. We exchange shots back and forth. But when you are being tormented, that takes on a whole different persona. Brother Brian, would you help me just a minute tonight? Come here. You see, when we're taking shots at one another, we're in warfare. But if I have the ability to torment him, he's in bondage to me. Y'all listen to this? And I can poke his eyes. I can do all kinds. I won't do nothing. I can do all kinds of things to him. I've read accounts through all the wars, through Korean War, through World War II, World War I, the POWs, when they went into those camps, some of the horrendous acts that they did to them. Did those American soldiers, when they were attacked or when they were captured, did they quit being American soldiers? No. They didn't quit the war. They didn't change sides, but they were prisoners of war. Amen. And I'm talking to somebody tonight who is a saint of God, who I'm telling you right now, yeah, I believe you're saved from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. But I want you to know tonight that God sent me with a message to tell you, you have been a prisoner way too long. You are no longer in the clutches of the beast. You are no longer under control of the enemy, but you have been born again. You have been bought by the blood. You have been set free by Jesus Christ, and you no longer have to obey what the enemy is doing to you. But you're a prisoner. I don't know how to get free. I don't know how to get out. And I don't know tonight how to explain to you you're already free. You are already free. Hey, amen. I've got to admit to you, I've preached this message, Sister Hoffman, at a couple other places. And the Lord just keeps dealing with me to preach it. Because we are living in a day and an hour and a time where the world around us has us so afraid to open our mouths. Well, homosexuality, it's coming on. You might as well accept it. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't have to accept it. We don't have to tolerate it. It's still an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we have allowed the enemy to back us into a corner to the point that we're afraid, and brother, and made where we cower down, and we're so worried at what the devil's going to do. But I want you to know tonight, you don't have to cower down, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! You are falling prey to the enemy. And every day that you're in captivity, he's building that wall of separation higher and higher and higher. Woo! What's a stronghold? It's a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deception. Deception is one of the primary weapons of the devil, because it's the building blocks for a stronghold. What strongholds can do is cause us to think in ways which will block us from God's best in our life. For example, sometimes you might feel you have to confess all your sins to everybody that you've ever wronged. And if you can't get to everybody that you've ever wronged, you feel that you can never be right. Hey, amen. Maybe you weren't that deep in sin. I don't know. If you feel, there are some folks that feel like that. Or maybe Sister McKelvey, maybe it is that the devil says, well, in your past you've done too much. You've gone too far. You might have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. You don't know now. Don't raise your hands. Don't shout hallelujah. Don't get in the church. You just sit there, look pretty for your husband, and go on with life. Come on now, saint. I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to live in bondage anymore. You have been set free, and you're as free can be, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm no longer in bondage, but I'm free. Two distinct strongholds. I'm hurrying quickly. The first one, you see God incorrectly. One of the most popular and devastating strongholds to have is an incorrect image in your mind of who God is and how he sees us. People who see God as a taskmaster live their lives with an unhealthy fear of God. There's a good kind of fear and reverence of God, which is more like a holy respect for him. But there's another kind of fear that is very unhealthy, that the enemy wants us to have. And that is when we feel we can never live good enough to please God. You'll never live good enough. You might as well quit, Sister Claire. You'll never be righteous enough for God. I want you to know that's a lie from the pits of hell. If you're obeying the word of God and you're upholding the commandments and the precepts, you know what God said about Job? Have you considered him? He is perfect. He is perfect and upright in all his ways. If you're obeying God and living the word of God and reading and praying, oh yes, you can live good in an ungodly society. It's a misnomer. The second one, you see yourself incorrectly. People who suffer from this have a hard time seeing the new person that they are now in Jesus Christ. And they often suffer from low self-esteem. They don't understand what Christ did for them, how it applies to their own life. And the common symptoms of this stronghold are guilt feelings, questioning if you've really been forgiven of your sins. You're in a constant battle. You're in a constant fight. I wish I had something to tie you up. I really do. Amen.
Where's Brother Michael? Brother Michael, come here. You're handy with the mic cords. Throw a couple loops around him. Let's tie him up. Amen. Let's be done with that idea. Amen. As I read to you that illustration earlier tonight about that shark that attacked that man, you see, he was going about his daily task, just abalone fishing. He wasn't shark fishing. He wasn't baby shark fishing. He didn't want to even mess with a shark. He just wanted that little mollusk. He wanted to do what he's been doing for over 30 years. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he was hit. You ever been hit? Come on now. He was hit. And when he got into the middle of that mess, he kept calm enough. Now, I don't know what I would have done. I really don't. If I was hit deep in a shark's mouth, I might have just made sure I was right with the Lord and went on. But he stayed calm enough to reach up and recognize there's a way out of this. I've heard there's a way out. And he felt around for a little while. And all of a sudden, there's a good eye. All of a sudden, hey, let's see what this does. Pressure relieves. You hear me preach tonight, this may not be anything outstanding to you, but I'm telling you right now, there's a way out of what you're in right now. Because my Bible tells me that God hath not put on me more than I'm able to bear. But with every temptation, he's made what? A way to escape. There's a button somewhere for this. There's a tap out point. Amen. For this, there's something to get me out of this. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know who it is exactly who I'm talking to, but you don't have to stay in bondage anymore. I said you don't have to stay in bondage anymore. Amen. The devil sometimes, I think he's took that song from us. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. And he puts walls up all over the church till you can't hardly walk down the aisles. You run into this wall. We got to go this way and around this way and around this one. There's so many walls in the church that we can't have freedom. Amen. I think only Brother Michael, Brother Nathan, and Brother Brian know the way around because they're the only three I see run all the time. They must know the shortcuts in between. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there's a way out of the trial and out of the test that you're in. You are not backslidden. You are not going to hell. But if you're living right, I'm here to tell you, God can bring you out. You don't have to stay in that stronghold. You don't have to stay there. I'm fixing to close. Come on, music. The good news of the gospel is this. He set us free from every fear. Not some, not a few, but every. Brother Adams, glad to have you tonight. Would you like to be Jesus for me? Now, I don't think you look like him. I'm not real sure. Amen. He might have had a little olive skin, but we don't know. Go ahead and unloosen him. You see, there was a time on Calvary during that period of darkness when he said between it is finished and the earth quaking and graves being shaken. Darkness, the Bible said, covered the face of the earth, Brother McKelvey, from the sixth to the ninth hour. And in those dark hours on Calvary, my Bible tells me that my Jesus went down into the depths of hell and he preached to the captives and he brought them out. I believe there was 100% that day that believed on who he was and walked out behind him. But he didn't just walk out with all the Old Testament saints. He came out, Brother Aaron, with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And no matter what the devil tells you tonight, if you have given your heart to Jesus, you are free
as free can be. And you don't have to stay in that stronghold where you're at tonight, but you can come out. I said you can come out. You don't have to stay there anymore. I've got to read this quickly. I've got to close. Psalms 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 34 and 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all, every one of my fears. Psalms 18 and 17, he delivered me from the strong enemy and them which hated me. Psalm 54 and 7, he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Psalm 116 and 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Psalms 50 and 15, call upon thee in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You have been set free by Jesus Christ, and you're no longer in those jaws. You don't understand, Brother Jamie, where I'm at. No, I don't. But I know one who does know exactly where you are. He's seen you. You remember when Jesus told Nathanael? He said, I saw you under the juniper tree. And he said, my. He said, you say that because I said I saw you under a tree? Greater things than these you're going to see. What was he saying? I see everything. I know where you're at right now. But not only does he know where you're at right now, Brother Dale, he knows where you can be. You ought to have been shouting on that. I'll just tell you right now. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Woo! 1 Timothy 1 and 7, God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. I'm telling you tonight, I don't know who you are, but you can come up out of whatever you're in, because the price for your redemption has already been paid. Everybody stand across this house tonight. I can't take you any higher than Jesus. I can lead you to him, and I have to leave you there with him. I can show you the way out, and I've pointed you toward Jesus tonight. But you know what's sad? Brother Hoffman, some people will leave this building carrying the bricks of the stronghold in their life, and they won't surrender because of fear of someone in here would reject them. Hello? I don't know anybody in here that would reject someone trying to come out, Brother Brad. I don't. So if you're in here tonight and you are in a stronghold, you know who you are, and you're in that stronghold, I want you to know tonight, look around. I want you to raise your hand if you'll reject somebody for coming up and out tonight. Look around, everybody. I don't see a hand. Do you see a hand? I don't see a hand. Raise your hand tonight if you'll shame somebody for getting out of that seat and coming to the altar and getting a hold of God tonight. Raise your hand. Everyone, look. You see anybody tonight, Sister Jessica? I don't see anybody. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying we're here for you. I'm here for you. I'll pray with you. I'll cry with you. I'll do anything you need to. Brother Jim, I know you would too. You want to see folks do right. We want to see folks make it in. We are living in a wicked time, and this is no time for us to build walls. We need to tear down the strongholds. Our fight is not. Our fight's not physical. Our fight's spiritual. And in the spiritual world, some of you have got a grapple hold. I wish I knew some wrestling moves or something. You got a grapple hold on you. You're so wrapped up and you don't even realize it. Church is high. We're singing about Jesus. And you're playing on the iPhone. You can't get in. You don't know what to do. You're bound. I'm telling you tonight, if you're saved by the blood of Christ, you're free. Brother Adams, I don't know any other way to say it. Do you? I don't know any way to say it that you're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. I'm going to close with this. My wife told me when we walked out the door tonight, she said it was just on the news. She got a little, I don't know what they call it, an alert notification on her phone. France just voted in a socialist to lead their country. You hear me? I'm afraid the devil's working. I'm afraid. I got news for you. He's been working a long time. Fear entered this world clear back in Genesis when Adam said, and when God said, where were you? He said, I was afraid. I was afraid and I hid myself. What do you mean you were afraid? The first time ever mentioned, he was afraid of God, but it wasn't a respectful fear. He was afraid from what the enemy had put in him. First socialist in a long time, leading this world's way, plunging it further and further away from God. That won't affect us. Oh, let me tell you, it will. It will. You hearing me? It will. Are you afraid, Brother Jamie? Oh, no. I've been blood bought and born again. It may get tough. But Brother Ponting, I know who am I have believed in. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed to him. God is able. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to have to close like this. I've preached my heart to you tonight. I really got to be honest. I was amazed how God works things out. When Brian began to preach this morning, I was amazed that the Lord had given him such a message that I could tie with. But you know what that tells me? God was reaching this morning, and he's reaching again tonight. He orchestrated two services in a row just to get you to come out of what you're in. You hearing me? I don't know who you are, but I want you to know the Holy Ghost is walking up and down these aisles tonight. He's going in and out of every pew, and he's searching your heart, and he's whispering in your ear, you're free. Act like you're free. Praise God. Come on, sisters. Pray with her. You're free. Act like you're free. I wonder what, it doesn't matter what's going on. I'm telling you, the enemy has built strongholds in Union Road Pentecostal Church, and we're not even aware of them. But those that are bound are. Those that have been living in that cell, I'm telling you tonight, you're free. Step out of that cell. Step out of whatever you're in. Some of you brothers, go pray with him tonight over there. Some of you just need to step out. But Brother Jamie, I've gone too far. It's a lie. It's a deception to try and avoid this circumstance right here. God's opening the door. He's saying you're free. You're free. But you've got to move now. He will keep what you've committed, but you've got to commit it to him. Come on. I'm reaching. I can't close the altar. I can't close it off. I'm just going to keep pleading. Come on. Come on. God is telling you tonight, you're free. I don't care if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost for 30 years. The enemy could still have his grimy paws on you. Turn the lights all on. Young people, turn the lights on. Look at your life. Make sure God's telling you tonight you're free. Moms and dads, God's speaking to you tonight. You're free. You're free. What are we waiting on? Saints, we're staring at these folks that are praying. You know what's happening? They're tearing down the walls. They're tearing down strongholds that have been binding them up. I'm no better than anyone else, but God gave me a message for Union Road that you are free. And all you've got to do is come tonight. Who else will come? Who else will come? Come on, saints. I haven't made a general altar call because I want somebody to walk out. I want you to walk out tonight and know that you're free. You think of all those socialists when that great Berlin Wall, when it was pulled down, you think they stood on this side and just stared? Oh no, they ran towards freedom. When some of those from down south want to come to America, they swim, they sneak, they press, they go days without food and water. Why? Just for a taste of freedom. But saints of God in the spiritual realm, I'm talking to saints tonight. Brother Jamie, I feel higher and better than I've ever been. Hallelujah. Come and find somebody that's not and help them get out of that stronghold that they're in. Come on, church. The Lord is whispering, you're free. Oh, God's telling you right now, you're free. Come on, act like you're free. Sing, sing tonight.